Ever find yourself wading through a sea of case law and wonder, like, what these old rulings actually mean in real life?
Oh, absolutely.
We're not just skimming the surface today.
No.
We're going deep into Marshall v. Samdel's Dodge Corp., a 1978 case that's still shockingly relevant today, about what employers absolutely cannot get away with when it comes to paying their employees.
Right.
We're talking like FLSA 101, but...
Yeah.
But with a real-world story of a car dealership that tried to bend the rules.
Oh, yeah. This one's a classic. The FLSA is really the foundation of fair labor practices.
Right.
And it might seem pretty simple on the surface, but cases like this one show us the constant struggle to actually make those protections mean something in the real world.
Yeah.
So diving deep into this Samdel's Dodge case, it's going to uncover some like surprisingly important truths about minimum wage, how employers try to, you know, get around their obligations and why the law is so strict about it.
Okay. You'll see, it's not just about the dollar amount on a paycheck.
Right.
It's about basic fairness for workers.
Okay. So set the scene for us. Samdel's Dodge Corp.
Oh.
Car dealership. They had this sales team.
Right.
On... a base salary of just $56 a week.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's low.
It sounds like something from, you know, a different era.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus whatever they could make in commissions and bonuses.
Okay.
But what really jumps out is the idea that some weeks, these folks might have only made that $56.
Right.
How do you even get by on that?
Well, that's exactly the problem. The question of whether that's even sustainable, let alone legal, is what the Department of Labor was concerned about.
Right.
That base salary, super low, that's the first warning sign.
Yeah. When you
think about the FLSA's whole point of guaranteeing a minimum wage.
Mm.
But the story gets even wilder when you look at the hours these salespeople were actually working.
Versus what was on paper.
Way more interesting. The dealership was officially clocking them in for 36 hours a week.
Okay.
Nice and tidy.
Right.
But the reality, before 1976, the average was over 55 hours.
Mm.
And even after that, it was still around 48.
Still a lot.
Huge difference between the paperwork and what was actually happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the dealership knew.
Right.
They weren't just oblivious.
Right, exactly.
They actually pushed their employees to sign off on those underreported hours.
Yeah.
It feels deliberate.
It does, doesn't it? Less like an honest mistake and more like a way to try and skirt the rules.
A strategy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that deliberate aspect that takes us straight to the big violation.
Right, do it.
Minimum wage. The big legal question here is whether paying that tiny base salary some weeks, even if the commissions like eventually maybe added up, did that violate the whole... point of a guaranteed minimum wage for every hour worked.
Exactly.
And that's where that per work week standard of the FLSA comes in.
Yes, that's key. Well, yeah, super important.
Explain the per work week standard. What's the idea?
So the court in this case, they actually quoted the FLSA directly and it's super clear.
Okay.
It says, the act takes a single work week as its standard and does not permit averaging. Oh. That's the core of it. The law doesn't let an employer look at like your total pay over a month or a year and say, well, it evens out.
Right.
Each week, each individual work week stands alone.
Got it.
This might seem like a simple rule, but it's really important to make sure everyone earns a basic living wage.
Right.
And it stops employers from taking advantage of workers whose earnings go up and down.
Right.
So someone might have a really good week and make a lot and then a bad week and make very little.
Yeah.
The law says each of those weeks has to be fair on its own.
Okay, so paint a picture for us. Imagine one of these salespeople, they have a rough week.
Okay.
They put in like 50 hours,
right.
But no sales, so no commission.
Uh-oh.
They only get that $56 base.
Yikes.
Now, let's say the minimum wage back then was, I don't know, $2 an hour just for simplicity.
Okay.
They should have earned at least $100 for those 50 hours.
At least.
That $56 is way short.
Yeah. That's a big problem.
Right.
And here's the thing. The next week, they might do amazing. Sell a bunch of cars, make a ton of commission.
Okay.
So if you average those 2 weeks together, maybe they end up above minimum wage overall.
Right.
But the FLSA doesn't care about that.
Right.
That first week, they were illegally underpaid.
Yeah.
And the dealership can't fix that by pointing to a later, better week.
So the employer couldn't just say, Well, our salespeople could make good money with commissions, so that low base salary is fine.
No way. The court shut that down hard. They said employees need a minimum level of pay for every hour they work.
Right.
Every single week, no matter how much they might earn later on.
Just like a safety net.
Exactly. It's a basic protection.
Okay. And it wasn't just the minimum wage issue, was it?
No, not at all.
The record keeping was also a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Remember we talked about how the dealership was keeping inaccurate time records?
Right.
Putting down 36 hours when employees were working way more?
Yeah.
That makes it basically impossible to know if they were even paying minimum wage.
Right.
How can you calculate wages properly if you don't even know how many hours people worked?
Right, right.
That alone, the bad record keeping,
yeah,
that's a violation of the FLSA.
Okay.
And then on top of that, they were messing up the whole thing with the demonstrator vehicles they gave to the salespeople.
Right, those demo cars.
Yeah.
So the sales team got these cars.
Yeah.
They could use them a little bit personally.
Quite a bit, yeah.
And there was a small deduction, like 2.50 a week for insurance.
Yeah.
But the court had to decide, should the value of using these cars,
yeah,
should that be considered part of their wages?
Interesting question, right?
Yeah. Is it a benefit that offsets their pay?
That's probably exactly what the dealership argued.
Right.
They probably said, hey, look, they get to use a car that's like extra compensation.
Yeah.
But the court wasn't buying it.
Okay.
They said these vehicles were mainly for the employer's benefit.
Okay.
Think about it. The salespeople needed these cars to do their jobs.
Right.
Showing cars to potential customers, taking them on test drives.
Yeah.
The court specifically said facilities primarily for the employer's benefit do not qualify as wages.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. It's like if a company gives you equipment you need for your job.
Right.
Like a computer.
Yeah.
Or safety gear.
Uh-huh.
Or a uniform.
Right.
You need those things to work.
Exactly.
It's not the same as getting paid money.
Yeah.
That you can use how you want.
It's a tool, not a paycheck.
Right.
The court was super clear about that distinction.
Yeah.
A benefit that's really for the employee.
Mm.
Something they can enjoy outside of work.
Right.
That might be treated differently.
Okay.
Like, imagine a company health insurance plan.
Right.
Or contributing to your retirement fund.
Yeah.
Those directly benefit the employee.
Yeah.
But a tool you absolutely need for your job, like that demo car for a car salesperson,
yeah,
that's not the same thing.
Okay.
It's like giving a chef knives.
Right.
It's essential for the work, but not a replacement for wages.
Right. So you've got low base pay.
Yeah.
Under minimum wage, a lot of weeks.
Hours
being deliberately underreported.
Yes.
Demo cars not counting as wages.
Right.
Sounds like the court found some pretty big violations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they were considered willful violations, right?
Right.
What does that mean, willful? What does that change?
Willful is a really important legal term in FLSA cases.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean the employer was like trying to be evil or hurt their employees.
Okay.
It means they either knew what they were doing was against the law.
Right.
Or they just didn't care enough to find out.
Reckless.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And in this case, the court pointed to something really important.
Okay.
The Department of Labor had already investigated this dealership before.
Oh, wow.
Multiple times, actually.
Okay.
And they'd warned them about these same practices.
So they were told they were breaking the law.
Exactly.
And they just basically ignored it.
Pretty much. And that willful finding has big consequences.
Okay.
It changes the statute of limitations, which is how long an employee has to sue for unpaid wages.
Okay.
Usually for FLSA violations, it's 2 years.
Yeah.
But if it's willful,
yep,
it becomes 3 years.
Okay.
So employees have more time to get what they're owed.
Wow. That's a big difference.
It is. Plus, because the dealership had this pattern of not following the law,
yeah,
the court also issued an injunction against them.
What's an injunction?
Basically, a court order that forces them to stop doing something illegal.
Oh, okay.
So they couldn't just keep doing what they were doing.
Right.
The court stepped in and said, nope, you have to change.
Got it. And it wasn't just the dealership as a company, right?
Right.
The people in charge,
yeah,
they were held accountable too, right?
Absolutely. The court said Sam Dell Sr. and Jr.,
okay,
they were personally liable as employers under the FLSA.
Wow.
This is a big deal in labor law.
Right.
It means you can't hide behind the company,
right,
if you're the one making the decisions that break the law.
Right.
You have a personal responsibility to make sure your company is following the rules.
It's about individual accountability.
Exactly. So Looking back at this case from 1978,
yeah.
What are the big takeaways for law students today?
Yeah, why are we still talking about this?
Because it's still so relevant.
Okay.
There are a few key things to remember. First, that per work week rule is absolutely crucial.
Right.
Employers can't average wages over time. Each week has to meet the minimum wage requirements.
Got it.
Second, accurate record keeping is non-negotiable.
Uh-huh.
Employers have to honestly track the hours people work.
Okay.
And third, be wary of any compensation scheme that doesn't guarantee a minimum wage for every hour worked.
Okay.
If it looks like an employer is trying to get around the FLSA,
yeah.
The courts are going to be suspicious.
Right.
And it's really interesting to think about how these principles apply to the way work is done today.
Right.
You've got the gig economy,
yeah.
All these new kinds of jobs.
So many different ways people work now.
Right. And think about a gig worker. They might have some really good weeks where they earn a lot.
Okay.
And then weeks where they barely make anything.
Yeah.
If you just looked at their average earnings over time, it might look like they're doing okay.
Right.
But during those slow weeks,
yeah.
Could they be getting paid less than minimum wage?
Right. That's where this case is still so important.
Yeah.
It gives us a framework for analyzing those situations and making sure that workers in the gig economy still have those basic protections.
So it's not just about the total amount earned, it's about how much is earned during each individual work week.
Exactly. Each week has to stand on its own.
Got it.
And as companies get more creative with compensation, things like stock options or benefits that aren't just money, it gets even more important to figure out what really counts as wages.
Right.
Just like with those demo cars in this case.
Okay, so big picture, the lesson from Marshall v. Samdel's Dodge Corp.
Yes.
Is that the FLSA looks at each week separately.
Yep.
You can't try to make up for a week of low pay with a good week later.
Nope.
And just because someone might make good money overall doesn't mean you can pay them less than minimum wage for any hours they work in any given week.
Exactly. And stuff that's mostly a tool for the job.
Yeah.
Not a real benefit for the employee that doesn't count toward wages.
Exactly. The court in this case, they drew a line in the sand.
Right.
They said the FLSA is serious business and it applies every single week.
Okay.
It's a reminder that these rules aren't just about numbers.
Yeah.
They affect real people's lives.
Okay. So here's something to think about as you keep learning about labor law.
Right.
As work keeps changing and the way people get paid keeps changing.
Right.
How well do these old principles from the FLSA, you know, almost 50 years old now, how well do they still protect workers?
Interesting question.
And what new challenges might we face in making sure people get paid fairly and that the hours they work are accurately accounted for?
Definitely something to ponder.
It's a lot to think about.
It is.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.